If you would, open up your Bibles to John chapter 1. And what we want to talk about this morning is all things new. You know, that Christ has come to make everything new. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light, the true light which gives light to everyone who is coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that if any person is in Christ, he is a new creation, that everything that's old is gone, and that everything has become new. You know, in this week, what we got to witness, in my mind, for sure, was a movement of God. Now, whenever people are making decisions for Christ, I've been around long enough to know that even if I counsel them for an hour or 5 minutes, and we talked about this 2 weeks ago, I don't know enough to know about whether or not they're saved. That's between them and God. But what I do know is that they are saved, that their entire life has been changed, that everything has become new. Why? Because they've entered into a new relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, I want you to think about the new relationships that you've had come into your life and how they've changed your life. I was thinking about that this week, about when Jessica and I, when we got married, about how that relationship was new. You know, and I was pumped up to be married. I mean, I got lost on the way to I was pumped up to be married. So pumped up that I got lost on the way to where we're going post-wedding, you know. I was like, praise God for this new relationship. And I remember the first couple nights where, I was sharing a place to sleep with Jessica, and I would wake up in the middle of the night and check on her to make sure she was still breathing. You know, kind of like you do with a newborn. Because I was like, oh man, you know, this is just so precious. I have to take care of her, you know. And we went on our honeymoon to Vancouver. I'll never forget what she said, though, when we came back, when we right got off the plane. She looked at me and she smiled and she said, "Well, guess what?" And I said, "What?" She goes, "The honeymoon's over." And I, you know, and she was just joking with me. She was just messing with me. But in some ways, there was a little bit of truth to that, because we started going back to our new job, to our jobs, going back to our new life. We had just moved churches, and she had a new job, and things changed. You know, I remember when it came to my clothes, how I kept my clothes, you know, when I was a bachelor and bacheloring it up, you know, I would keep all my clothes in the dryer, you know, because they were clean. They were just hanging out in the dryer, and it was pretty easy to get them not wrinkled, you know. You just go in there, turn on 15 minutes while you're taking a shower, you go out, you pull them fresh, leave the other ones in there, and you're good to go, you know. They can get de-wrinkled the next day. But what I found out real quick was that in my new relationship, my world was about to change, all right? Doing the dryer thing was no longer the way that it was going to be, all right? My clothes were going to be hung up. And if you don't know anything about us, I am not an organized guy, and it drives certain people in my church nuts because we all have different personalities, amen? But here's the deal. I was like, I'm not an organized guy. How I live my life is I live my life in stacks. I have a stack of this over here. And I have a stack of this over here and a stack over here. And if I lose my keys, it's going to be in that stack, or that stack. And if you mess with my stacks, I will never find anything, all right? But I married a lady who color codes and alphabetizes everything, all right? We showed up to do our taxes for the first time, and she had an envelope where all of our tax stuff was alphabetized and color-coded in a three-ring binder. She did a better job than the tax man, okay? That's the kind of woman that I married. I remember whenever I used to throw my dirty clothes on the floor, one of the nights we we woke up that morning and Jessica said, "Babe, were you sick last night?" And I said, "No." "Why?" She said, "Well, there's throw up on the floor." I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "Looks like your dirty clothes basket threw up all over this floor. And you need to pick up your clothes." You know, and that's the way that it was. I remember when my daughter was born, Annalise, that new relationship. Thinking about that, going into her being born, she had some bad sonograms would show that she might have had a hole in her heart. And I remember whenever that relationship was about to come, getting on my knees before God and praying in a little bit of different way for my daughter, that she would be born healthy and strong. You know, and praise God, she was. And I remember last week getting on my knees and telling my daughter that I lovingly prayed for to go to bed. And she said, "Going to bed makes me angry. And if you make me angry, I'll make you angry." And so I gently patted her on her behind, which she acted like I shot her, you know, and went to bed. You know, in a new relationship with David Michael, you know, getting ready in the morning used to be so easy. But this week, David decided he wanted to get up at 5:30 in the morning, bless his heart. You know, so I got up 5:30 in the morning with David, got him dressed, took him over here to Miss Sherry's house to go to school. That's what they call it. And then he cried all the way in the car because I wouldn't let him take his cereal with him in the car. You know, new relationships change your world. And not just one part of it, not just the compartment over here, but they change everything about it. And a new relationship with Jesus Christ should change everything about your life. And this week, I just want to share with you a little bit about what the Bible says, what Jesus Christ is like. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." Jesus Christ is eternal. When you come and you give your heart to Jesus Christ, you're not giving your life over to somebody who is dependent upon somebody else. You're not giving your life over to somebody who is one day going to possibly die and leave you to go through some mess. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, you're giving life to somebody who has always been there and who will always be there. You know, I remember as a little kid asking my Sunday school teacher, you know, "Well, if God's always been there, you know, who made God?" And it wasn't until later on in life I began to realize that that really wasn't a very good question. You know, it's like asking why the number one is the number one. It just is. You know, why has God always been there? Because He's God. He's just always been there. That's just who He is. You know, and I remember in my life when I was thinking about being an atheist, you know, turning my back on my faith, it dawned on me that either I was going to believe that there was a God who's always been there, or I could believe that all this stuff just had always been there. I had two options. And through just reading my Bible and talking with God, even while I was wanting to turn my back on God, God just confirmed in me, like, I've always been here. You can always depend on me. Not only is Jesus eternal, but Jesus is the Creator. He says, verse 2, "He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Jesus is Creator. Thursday morning, I went fishing with Tim Lane, which was completely nuts because a cold front was coming through. All right, and he took me to the Lakes of Hubbard. I'd never been there before. I didn't know that place was there, but we were out there on the Lakes of Hubbard, and I just wanted to go fishing because we'd had a long week, and I just wanted to fish anyway. And so he takes me out there, and we're sitting on this boat thinking how stupid we are because this rain's coming down. We're freezing. See little snowflake-looking things going through the air. But, man, it's amazing, and I've always thought it's amazing what you can hear and what you can see when you get out in God's world. You know, and that's one of the things that hunting and fishing is for me, is I just love sitting out there in God's world, you know, as long as my feet are warm. Okay, when my feet are cold, I don't like it. But just sitting out there. And I remember we were on the boat, and I heard a little rattle, and I was like, "What is that?" And it just occurred to me, I was listening to a squirrel footsteps scattered up a tree, you know. And sometimes I can't even hear who's in the same room with me, you know, but because I was out there just thinking about everything God had made. And Jesus is Creator. He's put us exactly where we need to be. You know, there's nothing around you today, even if you look around this room at the lights and the pews, the building, look at the people sitting next to you, there's nothing in this room that's a surprise to the Lord. And he's responsible for all of it. He's made all of it. And he's given it to us to enjoy, to use to serve him, to use to point other people to him. And we need to rejoice in the fact that when we come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, we come into a relationship with the Creator of the world. The Bible says that in verse 4 that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And when we come and serve Jesus Christ, we not only serve Jesus who is eternal, who we can always depend on, we not only serve him as Creator, and we can look around us and be thankful for everything that he has made and given to us, but we serve somebody who has given us life. Given us life. The Bible makes it clear that if any point God were to remove his hand from me or to stop sustaining me, that I would immediately just be gone. I'd immediately die. And however I die, my death will not be by accident. It will be because God has decided to take me home that way. You know, and a lot of times we have problems, even though we confess Christ, dealing with death and thinking about how could that happen? But we need to understand that God is in control of life and death. God is in perfect control of your life and of the day that you're going to die. He knows it. The Psalms tell us that every day in our book, you know, every day in our life was written in his book before we were even made. He knows them. He knows what's going to happen. He is the source of life. You know, I told you a little bit before about this time in my life where I wanted to turn my back on God, and I wanted to be an atheist, not have anything to do with the church, not have anything to do with Jesus. You know, and during that time, it was a pretty, in my time, a very, very dark time in my life. And I wouldn't really plan on sharing it this morning, but I know you well enough now that I'm going to, and if it's once to get gossip about in town, and gets gossip about, so be it. But when I was 26... I was sitting in a seminary class, and all of a sudden, just this weird feeling came upon me, and I'd been struggling with sadness for a while, but I remember sitting in a Hebrew class, and this weird feeling came upon me, and it was like the emotional bottom of my life just dropped out, and I remember thinking on my way home of wanting to drive my car off a road or drive my car off a bridge or into a tree. You know, I remember that night I called my dad and I said, "Dad, I'm having these weird thoughts. I know they're not right and I need you to come and help me." So my dad drove an hour and a half and came into my home to help me. And you know, it wasn't before long, all that counseling stuff, all that psychiatric stuff that you think is for everybody else, it wasn't before long that became something for me. It became something very real for me. You know, I don't know why. I mean, they just say some certain ages in people's life, in their mid-20s, late-20s, early-20s, your body chemistry changes sometimes, and you deal with depression. And man, that was right where I was. I mean, I can tell you that the only feeling I had, I can't even describe it, it was so dark, it was almost like the feeling of no feeling. You know, I remember several times, though, when I was going through this, just being on my knees or on my face in my house, crying out to God, "Where are you?" Crying out to God, "I can't feel you." Crying out to God, "Come and be with me, please. I need you." And let me tell you, without Jesus Christ, who's the source of life in my world, I guarantee you, during those months, I probably would have taken my own life. But praise be to God that Jesus was with me, and that I could count on him as being the source of my life. And then when I got down and couldn't even feel the presence of God, couldn't even feel anything, I can open up my Bible and I could read John chapter 1, that in him is life. You know, and aren't you thankful that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? So that no matter what's going on in your world, no matter how dark things get, no matter what kind of thoughts you're having or what kind of place that you're at, you know that you always have life in Jesus Christ. We'll also see that Jesus Christ is not only life, but he is light. In verse 5, it says that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. there is no power that can overcome the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to say that again. There is no power that can overcome the power of the good news of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, we had a revival in here this week. And we had a movement of God in here this week. And God did something special. Hopefully not only to people that made decisions, but for our church family in here this week. You know, Wednesday night, we baptized 65 people, but I got to confess something to you. Before we baptized 65 people, I was standing out in that hallway. And I was being, you ever seen the show Bridezilla? I was being like an evangelismzilla. I don't know. But I wanted to control everything. Because I thought, man, if these kids come out here screaming, there's going to be a big enough distraction where nobody's going to get saved. You know, if something in there goes wrong musically, it's going to be a big enough distraction where somehow God's not going to be able to move. Now that is the most stupid, sinful attitude. And finally, I had to go in that closet in there, out in the office, shut the door. But shut the door in that deal, get on my knees, put my elbows in the secretary chair, and just pray. And say, God, I need you to change my heart right now, because it is sinful of me to think that I could get in the way of you moving. And I know a lot of us, we had a deacon's meeting in here, and I'm going to, you know, talk bad about the deacons too. No, but we all just had to confess that God this week just went above and beyond everything that we expected. He just did. I mean, my bar was down here, and God was like, Jonathan, be quiet, and just look what I can do. Look what I can do. It's me. It's not you. You can set up everything perfect. But if I'm not in it, it's not going to work. We could have a perfect worship service where all the music was smooth. I could give the best sermon of my life, which I don't think I've ever done yet. You know, I could give the best sermon of my life. It could be the best service we've ever had. But if God's not here, it wouldn't matter. It'd be for nothing. Because it takes the power of God. You know, the biblical word there that says that the darkness cannot overcome the light. But also, we can translate that as, the darkness cannot understand the light. It can't understand it. Let me tell you, when you get saved, and some of you, you may have experienced it before, when you get saved, there's going to be people in your life that can't even understand what that means. They're going to look at you like you're crazy. You know, they're going to treat you like you're nuts. They say things like, oh, you just got religious, you know, or you got weak, you know, you were weak with addiction, so you know you needed God's help, but I'm strong, I don't need that. And there are people out there, man, without the power of God, without the God working in their life, the darkness will never understand the light. It can't comprehend it. You know, in me, when I was dead in my sins, you know, without God speaking to my heart, I would have never understood the gospel. Man, I was too sinful to understand the gospel. But God stirred in my life and stirred in my heart, and He changed me. And He helped me to understand that I was a sinner. I still am a sinner. But that I needed God to save me, to change my life. And man, at 6 years old, no matter what I've gone through, I've been able to look back and know that God did a work in my life. And there's nothing that can overcome that. Absolutely nothing. The last thing that I want to talk about is, it says that Jesus is with us. Verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory. What that word means is that the Word, Christ, became flesh and set up His tent. You know, He set up house in your house. And He is dwelling with you. You know, I know that we all, in all of our relationships, we go through times like where we're really close and really low. You know, really close and really low. You know, sometimes Jessica and I, we look at each other like, man, I'm so lucky to have you. Sometimes we look at each other like, you need to go away. You know, You need to find another place to be right now. Okay? But we need to step back and we need to realize that Jesus is close to us. Jesus is always with us. And man, I remember that used to be kind of a scary thought, you know. It used to be something kind of like my mom used to say, you know, Jonathan, you better be on your best behavior because God knows everything you're doing. Oh, man, you know. And it was kind of a scary thought. You know, but the older I've gotten, it's like, praise God that he knows everything that I'm doing, but he still loves me. Praise God that he knows everything I'm thinking, but he still has forgiven me. And you know, I want to be close to Christ. I want to be close to Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question, because I've had to think about it this week and be convicted by it, so I'm just going to have you think about it and be convicted too. It's only fair, okay? But are you close with Jesus Christ like how you want to be? Are you concerned about him like how you need to be? You know, if being in a new relationship changes every part of your life, then are you letting Christ into every area of your life? And we're going to talk about that here the next few weeks, but if Jesus truly makes all things new, then what in your life are you still living like it's old? You haven't given that to him. Everything in your life as your Christian should be different. It should be different. You know, and I thought about this week, you know, the Bible doesn't leave anything out. It doesn't leave anything out from our marriage. My marriage has to look different than the marriage of somebody who doesn't know Jesus. My kids, the way that I raise my kids is going to be different than somebody who doesn't know Jesus. Food. Gluttony is a sin, right? So the way that I eat and take care of myself should be different than somebody that doesn't know Jesus. Clothing, modesty, you know? The way that I dress should be different than somebody who doesn't know Jesus. Everything has changed. Because if you're a Christian, everything has become new. And man, I'm so excited that I get to serve. And I want you to leave this place here today excited that you get to serve Jesus Christ, who's always going to be there, who's made everything, who knows everything about your life, who gives you life constantly. Right now, your heart is beating because of him. That the gospel is something that can't be overcome and it can't be understood fully, and that Jesus is with us. We have a new relationship with him. At this time, I want us just to go ahead and stand and just focus our attention on Jesus Christ. And I just want us to spend some time just being thankful for what he's done. And if you need to come up here and go to an altar and feel like God wants you to kneel to be thankful, that's great. But it's no better than if you're sitting in your seat and you feel like God wants you to be thankful there. What matters is just be faithful to God in whatever he's telling you to do. And let's go to him in prayer right now and just spend some time with him.